Blog Talk Radio.
A lot of bad habits. Welcome to another Norman at Night. Sitting here, Pat Harp. If you're out there and you want to get some chat in, you can remember, you can always reach us at 347-945-6713. It's healthcare time. We had a real live conversation the last time we talked about healthcare, and I hope that we're going to have that same kind of conversation tonight. You know, speaking about healthcare, you know, I knew this guy suffered a serious heart attack, had to get open heart bypass surgery. He was in a Catholic hospital. After he comes out of the surgery, he finds himself under the care of the nuns. While he's recovering, the nuns started asking him questions, of course, how are you going to pay for your treatment? She said to him, do you have health insurance? And the guy said, my buddy says, no, I don't have any health insurance. The nun asked him if he had money in the bank. He replied, no, sister, I'm sorry. I don't have any money in the bank. The nun asked, well, do you have any relatives who could help you? He says, No, I'm sorry. I only got a spinster sister. She's a nun like you. Well, the nun is talking to becomes agitated and announced loudly, nuns are not spinsters. Nuns are married to God. My buddy says to her, all right, send the bill to my brother-in-law. I kind of got a kick out of that. You know, as long as we're... Oh, God, I don't even know if I should, you know, I knew another guy, you know, he says, my father's Catholic, my mother's Jewish, and I said to him, so do you go to confession or not? He says, yeah, I sure do, I take my lawyer with me. All right, I'll stop telling jokes, you know, maybe one more, anyway, there's this pub in Belfast, and in comes Paddy Murphy looking like he'd just been run over by a train. Now, he's got one arm in a sling, his nose is broken, his face is cut and bruised, and he's walking with a limp. Well, what happened to you? Asked Sean, the bartender. James O'Connor and me, well, we had a fight, says Paddy. The little jerk O'Connor, says Sean. He couldn't do that to you. He must have had something in his hand. That he did, says Paddy, a shovel is what he had, and a terrible licking he gave to me with it. Well, says Sean, you should have defended yourself. Didn't you have something in your hand? That I did, said Paddy. It was Miss O'Connor's breast, and a thing of beauty it was, but useless in a fight. Anyway, those are my jokes for tonight. What I did promise everybody, and hold off for a minute, because if I had my druthers, and I was going to do something with healthcare. This is what I do. Well, for the time being, we'll call it C-Care. And I'm really kind of not quite sure how to say. What I want you to think about is school. We all pay for school. And as far as I'm concerned with C-Care, if you want to, hold on 1 second here. I don't know. There we go. And we're talking about C-Care. Yes, we are. Well, anyway, it's sort of like school. First thing I want to make clear, that when we're talking about C-Care, nobody's going to have to give up their health insurance. Nobody whatsoever. Keep what you have. The essence of C-Care would be for government jurisdictions to begin to establish and build, and it's not going to happen immediately, but it will happen over time, to build government clinics. And if you don't have health care, you can come to the government clinic. And if you do have health care, you can come to the government clinic. And whatever your care, there'll be a $5 or $10 copay. If you have no health care, your copay takes care of things. If you have health care and you end up in the government clinic will make a claim on your health care. The point is, if you want to keep going to your doctor, you keep going to your doctor. You want to go to the big fancy office with the receptionist and all that other kind of good stuff, you go do that. You want to go to the government clinic, and admittedly, there are some that exist now. We simply have to make them bigger. And the way we can do that is to simply start training more doctors. I don't know how many of you are aware how much it costs to make a doctor, but a person has to go significantly into debt to become a doctor. But most people are willing to do it because healthcare is so out of control with its costs that no matter how far you go into debt, you're going to come out and you're also going to, to be quite honest, become quite comfortable. Now imagine if it didn't cost you a cent to become a doctor. Imagine if the government simply started creating doctors and put them under contract to work in government health care clinics. Now, how can we do this, you say? Well, the other real cornerstone of C-Care is that we'll start to train our doctors the same way we used to. They'll simply apprentice to a doctor, work for that doctor. Their salary will be paid by the government. And when the person comes up to speed, then they'll contribute time to the government practice. And they'll be paid quite comfortably. I don't have any real issue with government doctors making six figures. Lots of people work for the government, make six figures. And we will simply keep producing more doctors. If you want to keep paying for health care and you want to keep health insurance, and you want to keep going to private physicians, by all means, do so, feel free to. It's much like the whole idea of school. We all pay school taxes, but we don't all use the school, especially those of us who send our children to independent schools. I don't have any problem with paying my school taxes in Prince George's County, Maryland. Two of my children went to the public school. All three of them actually went to the public school through the eighth grade. I had one daughter who went to a Catholic school, but I chose to do that. I still paid my school taxes just like I normally would, because an educated populace is to everyone's advantage, just like a healthy populace is to everyone's advantage. So, what do you think? 347-945-6713. Let me see if I have anyone in the chat room yet. Where is that chat room? Here we go. Hey, I got it. Come on, guests. Talk to me, guests, in the chat room. I'll be happy to relay your thoughts. So what do you think of C-Care? Oh, I see the guest with no name is checked back in. So tell me what you think about C-Care. And just remember, I have five lines open. 347-945-6713. I got five lines open. Let's talk about healthcare. What do you think about healthcare? You don't like C-Care? Tell me what's the matter with it. You know, everybody talks about Obamacare, but oh my God, I don't know if he even has a plan. But we have to do something. What? And by the way, C-Care came to me in a good old all-American conversation with a coworker, my boss actually, and another very good friend of mine, the Angels were singing. Let's just say I was having a harp or two. But the conversation has continued, and here we are with another session of Norm at Night. 347-945-6713. I don't want to be talking to myself here, so please give us a call. Hey, you know, I got a line coming in that says, what about Canada having cheaper drugs basically at the expense of the USA, claiming we do all the research and development. I don't know. Why are the drugs cheaper in Canada? You tell me. I don't know the answer. I only know they are. Why can't we have cheaper drugs? I don't have any idea why we can't have cheaper drugs. They cost nowhere near the amount of money they're sold for. Kid comes out of pharmacy school now. We pay them, you know, six figures right out of pharmacy school. Do they deserve that? I don't know. The work they do sure saves lives. I'm a school teacher. I don't make six figures. I'm not going to make six figures in my whole life. But I make a difference. I make a real difference in people's lives. Hey, Colt, welcome. I see you're, oh my God, we're starting to come in. Hey, folks, you know, you can join me online. Oh, wait, I got a caller coming in. Go ahead, 410. You're on with Norm.
Hey, Norm. I was one of your students. I'm here with my whole family, and we're listening to your show.
Well, that's really kind of fun. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, and we just wanted to call in and say that about healthcare. Healthcare is the topic, right?
Yes, healthcare is the topic. A good old corporate worker mercy.
Yeah, well, we wanted to say that we all have healthcare, but we think that other Americans deserve to have healthcare too, and we think that most of the people that are opposed to this healthcare are people that already have it. And, you know, where are those people that don't have health care? They deserve it.
Well, what did you think of C-Care?
What do I think of what?
What didn't you, were you tuned in when I, C-Care, I honestly believe the government should start producing doctors and healthcare professionals and open free clinics everywhere. And if you have health care and want to go to your private physician, by all means, go right ahead. If you want to go to the government clinic, by all means, it's free. Bring your health care because everybody will have a small copay, and the government will train health care professionals and pay them.
Agreed. That sounds good to me, Norm.
And it's just like school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I pay school taxes every day of the week, but, you know, I chose for my daughter not to go to the public school. I didn't stop paying my school taxes. In fact, I was very happy to pay them because an educated population is for the good of everybody, just like a healthy one is.
Very good point. It's that one of those, healthcare is one of those basic things. You want an educated population, you want a healthy population, you want a population with good teeth. We can't have people walking around without any teeth in their mouths.
That's right, but we don't have to have people walking around with straight teeth, but that's just a...
That's true, no, but the little boy that died in Baltimore a few years ago because he wasn't getting any dental care, and, you know, the infection spread into his brain.
He's an example we can
all look at.
Absolutely. Infections are infections, and there's absolutely no reason for it to cost so much.
Agreed.
In my view, I admit doctors take care of people, and mm-hmm. they spend a lot of money becoming doctors.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never seen one go to the poorhouse, ever.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's Lefty Louie coming out from me again. And, you know, all that Jesuit training, I know, you know, I'm sure you know how that is.
I do know how that is. I'm getting the Jesuit education.
Absolutely. And it's a great thing to have. AMDG.
That's right, AMDG, Norm. All right, I'm going to let you go, but I'm going to follow the rest of the show. All right.
Yeah, and we're here every Tuesday night, 9 to 10 o'clock.
Of course.
All right, we'll see you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, folks, there's the first call of the night. Why is it not hanging up? You are welcome to something. I don't know. Come on, hang up. There we go. I think it's gone. I got another caller coming in. 202, you're on the line with Norm. Go ahead. Well, you were on the line with Norm. 202, please call back. I've done too many clicks on the switchboard, and I lost you. I apologize for that, 202, but I'd be glad to bring you right to the front of the line. Let me go check the chat room here. Whoa. Oh, it's impossible to teach a lizard to fly a plane. We got things going hot and heavy here in the chat room. So why don't you chatters, you know, all the lines are open. Let me see if I can relay some of this conversation. Boy, it's, uh-oh, I got somebody coming in here. Go ahead, 202, you're on.
Hello?
202, you're on with Norm.
Hey, Norm, quick question. Do you remember when you used to work at St. Albans School back in the day?
I remember St. Albans School back in the day very
well.
All
right. I'm gonna give you a little bit of a time window. It's right around that time that Pamela Anderson and Tommy Lee video came out, and Paul Pomley would always be in the way back, and he'd always go, Pomley, goddamn it, if I come back there and see one more Blake spreadsheet, I'm gonna get you in Angioli's office in a minute.
I don't think
your
I said
new
goddamn
job.
It.
Do you still find yourself lining up with the same ambition towards? Excuse me.
Wait a minute, you lost me somewhere. Try that again, because I don't think I said goddamn.
Are we talking about healthcare and education here? And I was trying to draw a parallel to see if you had any recollection of a young person who was sort of trying to get his exposure to female anatomy through basically
the Prince of Porn. I do remember the Prince of Porn. But, you know, there was something really special about St. Albans, which I have always had the greatest respect for them. They had unfiltered internet, and we used our own responsibility in order to learn how to cope with that. And it was a I do remember Mr. Parnley with a very warm heart, actually, because he grew immensely from the time he was a freshman until the time he was a senior. St. Albans?
In what respect mainly did you see that? Because you know he's like 240 pounds now.
I had no idea that he was 240 pounds, but it really doesn't make any difference because I thought he grew into a fine young man with responsibility and care for those around him. St. Albans was a great place to work.
If you could say anything to anybody who is still there, I guess what would you say?
If I could say anything to anybody who's still there, I would say that's a gorgeous new building that you built. Cost a lot of money. A lot of money. I don't know if you could have spent that money a different way. I might have, but then I'm not the headmaster.
I guess if you were going to try to draw a parallel between healthcare reform and the changes you saw occur at St. Albans vis-a-vis Paul Parmley, I guess, in that window of time, how would you say that, what can be taken from each to sort of expand and, you know, further the ambitions of each respectively?
Well, if you're going to talk about healthcare and St. Albans, it's highly unlikely that anyone who attends school at St. Albans has any real issues with healthcare at all.
I mean, we've already gotten into how Paul's 240 pounds now, so let's not overlook the emerging obesity issue in this country that I think transcends class in a lot of ways.
Well, obesity is obesity, you know. And I don't know, and, you know, he could be a buff 240. How do I know? And let's leave personal people out of this. I don't want to confuse. I would say the general population at a place like St. Albans School is generally healthier than portions of the population that have less economic means and less opportunity to to quite bluntly go to the doctor. And so that makes a giant difference. Just like we pay for public schools and choose to go to independent schools, I think we all need to choose to pay for health care and choose independent health insurance if that's what we choose to do.
Now, if you're going to have these two options here, though, if we're going to go back to the St. Albans issue, you have a school like St. Albans and a school like Anacostia in D.C. Now, if you have a dual system set up there, how can you claim that there's any pursuit of equality or any type of justice or just health care dissemination when you have such huge disparities along those lines? I mean, regardless of whether the government or not is funding it,
well,
you still have
it's
population that don't have access.
You're making an assumption. You're making a very dangerous assumption.
I'm just using the
and
analogy.
That is,
I
understand. I'm going to continue the analogy. You are assuming that you can't be educated at Anacostia, and that just isn't true.
So would you say, what do you think is input in Anacostia, given that the function of the school is that is running like a fine-tuned machine as St. Albans would be? What do you think about the input of the students there that causes such a mediocre output or return in the society's investment?
I don't know the answer to that question, but I do know that we have to
you
keep...
You say that maybe it's that the parents and the culture from which these people come are maybe not as equipped to get their kids through a rigorous education system?
I don't know the answer to that question.
If that were to be true, healthcare doesn't begin and end with a doctor's visit. You still have to, you know, maintain some sort of diet and some level of discipline, and that discipline I think can be analogized to that of the parents and the cultures that are, you know, really producing substandard students and substandard schools. So if you think the government is just going to provide some sort of cure-all in the form of getting people in seats of doctor's offices, I think you're far off the mark, and you can look to Southeast D.C. to see those results in the education system.
I didn't want
to bring up schools personally. I want to talk about Paul Parmley. I mean, that's all I came here to do. And, you know, you sort of, you know, like a snake oil salesman sort of winded me down this road to get back to where you wanted to get your
listeners. Oh, now I'm a
listeners.
Snake oil salesman.
Yeah.
I don't think I sell snake
I mean, I'm thinking back to all the times that you taught, what did you teach, Visual Basic and what else?
Oh, I taught a lot of things technical. Let's just leave it at that.
Well, all I got to say is I appreciate everything you gave to St. Albans. I think you got the analogy to public schools and private schools a little bit more than you have. And give Parmley
Well, no,
all,
the analogy, wait, I'm not, the analogy is, we pay for schools.
Yeah.
Because and we pay for things we don't use. But we do that because the general benefit to the society, because of the idea of school, is such that it's worth paying for. And it is my contention that healthcare, a healthy population, is as crucial to the future benefit of the country as an educated population. Because it doesn't do you a bit of good to be educated if you're dead when you're 35.
Mm-hmm. But would you rather be old and not educated?
You know what? If I'm old and alive, I can get educated. But if I'm educated and dead, I can't get back alive.
What if you're old and not educated, don't know you want to get educated, there's no means to get educated, but you've got to...
I think every human being wants to learn things. Every human being does it every day. But we're way off the topic here.
I know. I thought we were talking about Paul Parmley.
I went down that road, but health, a healthy population is crucial to the future success of the population.
Do me a favor. Do me a favor. And, I mean, we can only do this, you know, one step at a time. But I think you can find Paul's email or something on Facebook or through some of those networks. And just give him a call, because I know, you know, he hasn't been taking care of himself, and he has let himself go a little bit. And, you know, if we're talking about health care, I think...
I don't want to... Please, no more names. You know, yeah, if I come across my buddy PP, I will have a conversation with him. But thanks for calling. I really
All right, thanks a lot.
And we're here every Tuesday with who knows the topic. It could be health care for a while. Till we get
right.
Things settled down. Thanks for calling.
All right, no problem. Bye.
Okay, there was a blast from the past. I'm trying to hang this call up. There we go. 5 lines open again, 347-945-6713. Let me check in with the chat room. We're having another good night. My gosh, this healthcare really bring it back home, Norm. Okay. Oh, gosh, lots of stuff going on here in the chat room. Let's see here. Oh, I got one guy here from out on the West Coast says health insurance should be taxed. All right. You know, I was talking to another guy today that said that same thing, that it should be a taxable benefit. Here's an idea. National health care will not be much different than Medicare. Of course it won't. Why should it be? We should develop co-ops through unions and credit unions, fraternal groups, RP, etc. Bring it home, Norm. Well, I'm trying here. Let's see what's going on. I have a cough. Who am I willing to pay for my lozenges? That's a good question there, GWN. I don't know. I guess you pay for who sells them to you for the least amount of money. And who makes sure that your lozenges are going to work? Remember the big cough drop scan? Well, maybe you don't, because you got to be about my age. Smith Brothers, they were nothing but candy. And people chewed them faithfully for years, thinking it helped their cough. Snake oil salesmen. Government needs to pay the Medicare claims in full. Well, guess what, GWN? The Medicare claims have to be reasonable also. Just for an example. I got a couple of callers coming in here. Go ahead, Colt. You're on with me. Hey, 410,
hey,
you're on too. We got a three-way here, so let's enjoy this. Go ahead, Colt.
Okay, I got the three-way going. I want to be in the middle.
All right,
okay.
Go ahead, 410. Tune in.
Oh, hey, Mr. Constantine.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How is...
Hold on here. We're starting to heat up here. Healthcare always does it. Go ahead, 443. You're with us, too. Hello, 443.
Hello?
Hello, 254, you're on.
Hey, how you doing? Can you hear me?
I'm doing fine. Let's start here. Colt, hold on a minute. 410.
No problem.
So what do you think of C-Care and my plan?
I'm sorry, Mr. Constantine. I kind of tuned in late. I was just calling to say hello.
Oh, well, that's a great thing. I'm glad you called in. So are you on board with the president and Nancy Pelosi, or are you one of the crazy?
Oh, no, I'm definitely on board. I think, you know, the United States should have some semblance of a public health care plan. I just am.
Okay, what about you, 254?
Hey, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
All right.
Does the United States need a public health care plan?
Of course we do.
Hey, John.
I believe in this very much.
So how do we pay for it?
How do we pay for it?
Yeah, how do we pay for it?
We tax it. How do you plan on paying for national health care otherwise?
Well, I'm not sure how you pay for national health care. That's why we're here.
That's why we're talking about is we're talking about how to pay for national health care.
Well, we're talking about health care. If you talk about health care, you have to talk about how to pay for it. I mean, do you have health care?
Yes, I do. I'm actually being paid for by my family.
Okay.
Isn't that sweet, John?
Are you and your family willing to pay more money so that people whose families don't have health care can go to the doctor?
I can tell you my dad is, but my mom is strongly against it, and I've been battling with her for about the good last month, talking about whether or not why she's against it and why I am for it. And it's a good battle. She kind of says I'm against it because, you know, why should I have to pay for someone else's problems? I'm for it because
Wait a minute, one at a time here.
I'm sorry?
All right. Why should we give your mom tax breaks for that health care? I don't know her tax break bracket, but she's getting a 28% to 35% tax break on that health care that the employer is providing. Is that correct?
You know what? You can come over to my house and tell her that right now because I've been trying to tell her that for the past month.
Time out here. As an old union guy, I'm not going to stand here and listen to that like you're getting something for free because your employer is providing you health care. That's part of your wages.
I'm trying to clarify this. So, okay, now the average family right now, say six person family, how much do they pay a year how much are they paying for health care?
Well, I know my personal family, it's about $300 a month.
Okay, so what's 12 times 300?
Well, 12 times 300 is 72. Well, no, 3,000 plus
3,600.
So, I would pay that in a heartbeat if I could get it that cheap.
Yes.
For God's sake.
what I'm trying to think is I did a project about this earlier, and I think they say in America the average of family pays for health care is close to around $10,000. Now, after this national health care reform bill, how much money would these people be saving, or these average families be saving, just out of taxes to be paying for health care?
I have no idea.
Let's say you got a working guy, and he's got a policy for, let's say, a family of four, him, his wife, two dependents. That's going to average between $10,000 and $12,000.
Okay.
He may pay 20% of that, because in the old days the company paid the whole thing, but now he'll pay 20%.
He's still getting
around $9,000 in paid benefits. This is compensation that is not taxed. This is the thing. I can't get that tax benefit. Give me a voucher equal to your tax. In fact, give everybody a voucher.
Forget about all this. Free government clinics. You weren't listening to C-Care. Provide a free option. If you want to keep paying for your health insurance to have your own personal physician, go right ahead. It's just like we all pay taxes for our schools.
You can't compare health care to the public school tax. It's apples and oranges.
Yes, I can.
I don't believe that they should be compared.
Why not?
It's both
They're both things that provide benefit to society.
Nobody
gets taxed where their kids go to the public school either, they're a cult.
Okay, well, education is not similar to healthcare. They're both completely two different things.
Oh, no. Education is one thing, but it doesn't count for poop if you're not alive.
That's true. So what do you think is probably the most important thing to focus on, public taxes or healthcare?
Oh, healthcare, without any question. No, it's much more important to be alive than educated. Because it doesn't do you any good to be educated if you're dead.
That's true.
We have a huge interest in providing health care for people. Whether we're talking about disease spreading or increased crime or you name a myriad of social problems, you know, the safety net has to be there.
We recognized this a long time ago.
You don't want
people to go to the doctor, line up HD TVs outside the doctor's office.
Oh.
Mr. Norm, I have a question for you.
Yes.
My question is, I do agree with national health care. I am for it. However, there are many things that you must take into consideration before. I know Obama's gone over them. Ted Kennedy's very much for it. But my question for you is maybe after a year or so, what if we are realizing that national health care is failing, that we are paying taxes for everyone, however, it's insufficient, and that these doctors are being way too overworked, and that there's just not enough space for these people to come in. What would you do from there?
I can't believe that I'm even wanting a market solution. I would keep making more doctors. I would flood the market with doctors.
You can't make doctors. They're not robots. It's free will whether or not these people want to become doctors. And let's be honest, after national health care, and now that these doctors may be receiving less paychecks and lower money,
Medicare. My whole family is nothing but physicians, except for my father. Although he's dead, so they're all dead now, so it doesn't really... Oh, no, actually, my Uncle Herbie's still alive. But my point is that you can make doctors.
If not doctors, physician assistants, nurses,
there's all kinds of things. The amount of money we spend just to have goddamn straight teeth in this country is utterly astounding.
I know. I still have braces on. I understand.
No, I mean, if you
take. Saving to have my ass implants. I've been saving for 20 years. Anyway, go on.
National health care will produce more lawyers, not more doctors.
I agree.
Well, you know, it's a scary statistic. 1 in 4 college graduates in America attended law school.
How is that a scary statistic?
1 in 4 college graduates are lawyers?
Yeah, what's so bad about becoming a lawyer?
Nothing. But why do we have so many?
Because it's a great profession. It's something my dad does. It's something that...
I stepped on a toe. I apologize.
Eventually,
I started the show out with a joke. Can I tell a lawyer joke? I hope it doesn't make people too angry. But anyway, John Paul, the Pope that died, he's standing outside the pearly gate, and there's a big long line. He figures, oh, I'm just going to go to the front. They'll let me right in. He gets up there. St. Peter's sitting there. He says, St. Peter, you know, I'm the Pope. Can I come in? He says, oh, no, we're all waiting in line. So he says, that makes sense. And so he goes back and he gets his place in line. Time goes by and the line's moving. All of a sudden, this fiery chariot with Elijah comes flying by, and Johnny Cochran's in right next to him. It comes up to the pearly gate. St. Peter says, go right in. Well, the Pope sees this. He says, oh, this isn't right. He goes running up there. He says, St. Peter, St. Peter, why did you let him in? He says, well, that was a lawyer. We got plenty of popes in here, but that's the first lawyer.
I get it.
Oh, come on. That was a good one.
No, I know. I get it. It's all lawyers go to hell. I get it. That's cool. I was thinking about becoming a lawyer now, but I think from now on, I think I might just become a doctor, honestly.
You know, I really, actually, I spent a lot of time. I don't even know how much time I have left here. 13 minutes. Okay. I got 13 minutes 13. Left. Hey, guest with no name, why don't you come and join us here on the line? But don't worry if you don't. There's some great stuff you're doing here in the chat room. I'm getting a big, the guy named Mark. What do I think about legalizing? I don't even know what Chiba is. What is
That's
Chiba?
It's marijuana.
Oh, is that another name for marijuana?
Yeah, pot, hash, weed. Chiba.
Cannabis.
One of the hundreds.
Oh, I never heard it called Chiba before. What do I think about legalizing it? You know, you can buy marijuana in any drugstore till 1935. And, you know, all of a sudden alcohol's legal again, and the alcohol lobby, suddenly marijuana's illegal. Go figure.
So, in your opinion, do you think that we should legalize marijuana again?
I think a person should be able to do almost whatever they want.
Okay, so in that question, do you think that we should be able to legalize acid, cocaine?
Are you talking about lysergic acid diethanol, or are you talking about, like, carbonic acid?
I'm having drugs. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, you know what? You know what? I don't know. I don't want to get into Timothy Leary arguments and
the basic libertarian argument.
Yeah, you know,
whatever
do I think
do
the
in
government
your own home, you can ingest any damn thing you want to in your own home. As soon as it influences other people, now then you're within the law and there are restrictions. So
You know what it's like, and I'll be honest, while my kids were growing up, I never have a gun in my house.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd almost go to the wall for my right to have one in my house.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't
I
think there... You know, the problem here is this government, we're trying to legislate sin out of existence. And that's why we're becoming such hypocrites. But anyway.
Yeah.
Norm, I got another question for you.
Fire away.
All right, well, like I said before, I am a fan of national health care. However, I want to ask a question that I think needs to be asked. I say, what if a 50-year-old man who's been smoking his entire life goes into the doctor?
What if a
10-year-old boy who, I don't know, was suffering of maybe leukemia or maybe some other disease that he had no other choice to have? I hope that we're not put in this position, but who has the right of way to see the doctor first? I think in reality that's actually going to happen. I think somebody's going to have to be seen first, and who's going to be?
That those decisions are already being made.
Who gets to be first on the liver transplant list?
That's
who,
more or less it. But
who gets to You know, do you give the liver to the 10-year-old kid who has hepatitis that he got from a needle in the hospital? Or do you give it to a, you know, the head of IBM? We know who's getting the liver, especially if the kid's poor.
Yeah, but after national health care is leaked,
he's the head of Apple. He's definitely getting a liver.
Stop it. Uh-oh, wait a minute. Somebody says, oh, my God. Frank, how can you call it a dumb question? Why don't you come and join us on the line? And the guy on the phone and the kid and the 50-year-old, he says, this is a dumb question. What do you... Come on the line, Frank, 347-945-6713, and you can tell the guy to his face it's a dumb question. Of course, I'll be happy to do it for you. Frank says that's a dumb question.
I want to hear his response. I want to know why he thinks it's a dumb question.
Well, it's a dumb question because it takes an extreme, and those, well, and this is my opinion. I don't think, you know, oh, God, the next thing you're going to do is call me Joseph Mengele. You know, I think there's much more critical questions like that than
yeah.
that.
Well,
when we have,
none
you know,
us...
with modern gene therapy, do we start sterilizing people with genetic diseases to clear them from the population? Do we start artificially creating blondes so that they don't disappear by 2080? I mean, the geneticists that say the last blonde's going to die in Finland somewhere in 2080.
Well, that's a, you know, it's a genetic. They tend to fall down a lot and have accidents.
Well.
Anyway. No, I'm trying to make a blonde joke, and it isn't working, is it?
Yeah.
So,
we had this blonde
anyway.
Secretary. I had to go in and give her a new computer screen because the one she had was covered with whiteout.
Oh, yes.
That's an old blonde
yeah,
joke.
I've heard a couple good ones recently, but they don't. They look better in email than they would translate. But anyway, yeah. I mean, are we worried that blondes disappear? What is the thing? What
yeah,
the
no. There, there's
you
no
know,
question.
The
blondes
point.
And redheads are disappearing.
Although
my daughter, I have two daughters who are redheads, and as Colt can testify, I used to be a redhead. Now I'm a grayhead.
You were a redhead? I thought you were
brown. Well, it was reddish brown, yeah.
Looked more blonde than
yeah,
red.
Probably. But you remember my mother.
Yeah.
She's a big, fat German redhead. God, you know? So,
yeah, my mother was a redhead about every third year. Either, you know, watch I Love Lucy and I gotta do that.
God, my wife was a redhead too. Both my daughters are redheads. My son looks like a Mexican. He takes after my father.
That's funny.
But anyway, we got about 6 minutes left here. I got three lines open. It's getting hot and juicy on the Norm Ed Night Show tonight. 347-945-6713. Remember, you can always follow me on Twitter. That's N. Constantine. And if you want to Facebook me, Norman Constantine's there somewhere. I'm just having a good old time on the show tonight. I haven't even had to play any music, and I'm not even going to get to play my favorite German, speaking of Germans, because people are calling me tonight.
Hey, look at that.
Okay.
A talk show, and people are calling.
It's healthcare. Hey, let's off the topic. Do you think the country's going crazy in these towns? Well, not off. I mean, off the string of conversation. Is the country going crazy in these town halls?
Did you expect anything different? It's changing an entire lifestyle around for these guys. I'm only going to go on a limb and hope that they're conservatives who are doing this, and that they're going to these town halls and they're crying about how, oh God, now their life's going to change. Now they're going to have to pay less money for health care. Oh God, what am I going to do? Now I have to support, millions of more people, than I had hoped.
Yeah.
I mean, I honestly expected more outrage. This comes to no surprise to me that some of these people are going absolutely insane over this.
Oh, gosh. There's a guy claiming that redheads need less health care than the rest of the world. Oh, and why do redheads need less health care than the rest of the world? Of course, George Thurgood used to say, I drink alone.
Oh, no, it's because they're too loaded to get to the doctor, generally.
Some guy just posted up here, he said that the true reason why they were all angry is because there were no donuts at the town hall meeting, and they were supposed to be crumbs.
Wait a minute. The town hall, this only on the Norm at Night show. The reason the town halls are going crazy is because they were promised donuts. And there were no donuts, and that resulted in angry town hall meetings.
Yeah. Well,
and the problem with... Wait, but there's a new one from my buddy Brian. Government-run health care is like terrorist-run airport. You got to explain that one to me.
Well, that has to be the most accurate statement of the night, to be honest. I mean, government-running health care, like terrorist-running airport, that's... Definitely a liberal statement right there. I just have to, comment on that.
The fat left-hander here, I'm quite a liberal guy.
Well, you always need the little Bill O'Reilly to come and crap about all his problems.
Bill O'Reilly, whenever I hear Bill O'Reilly's name, whenever anybody talks about what he says, all I can think about him is having phone sex with his intern in the next room.
Oh, that's...
Yeah, that's all I can think of,
man.
Oh, Bill O'Reilly. And when you're at commercial break on the Bill O'Reilly show, there he is, pumping iron.
Oh, we got another one. He says the government sucks at everything they do. I guess that whole National Roads wasn't that great, or
the
whole.
The government's a giant prostitute.
The highway system.
What's the matter with the highway system? You ever ride in it?
Nothing wrong with the highway system.
I was
defending the government. They made some nice roads. Eisenhower, fabulous.
Absolutely. You ever ride the... Every time I ride down Interstate 66 to work,
He saw the Autobahn in Germany, and he said, damn, we got to get us one of them.
He's got about
I want to be just like the Nazis. Yeah.
Let's leave the Nazis out. And somebody called me a Nazi earlier tonight.
I didn't call you a Nazi.
No, it wasn't you. One caller called me a Nazi because I wanted to have health care. Oh no! Wait a minute. That was another. I take that back. I called this show about the Second Amendment.
Oh, well, then.
And they called me a Nazi.
Because
I was for health care.
I don't know what
we got about a minute
take
left.
It off, take it off.
I just want to thank everybody who's come to Norm at Night tonight. It has been a great show. Remember, you can go to patty2.blogspot.com and you can get the replay of the show. It should be on actually in about a half hour. That's how long it usually takes to get the archive
get
up
right
on the website.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Patty, the number 2, PADDY 2, .blogspot.com. And in the last 22 seconds, a happy birthday to my wonderful wife, who turned 39 today.
Happy birthday,
Carol. Absolutely.
Oh.
Anybody put up with me for 28 years? Our anniversary is coming up Saturday, year 28, and we're out of here.
See you, Norm.
Right.
Have a good night.
Thanks for calling. We're done, Colt. We'll talk to you next week. Tonight was a rock and rollicker. I enjoyed it.
Good.
And keep and remember, until you hang up, it all goes into the archive. And let me see who's left in the chat room. Hey, guys, thanks. The chat room was great tonight. I really enjoyed the show. It was Nancy, not Nazi. Oh, my gosh. No one ever gets mad when eating a donut. Just some wonderful shots from the chat room here that... wait a minute. Norm was a redhead. Yes, Norm was a redhead. Well, reddish brown, blonde, actually. Let's jam out the bad head. Oh, God, I should have. It's too late now. It's off the air. But I can give you a little bad habits for a while here. I am going to go off the air with bad habits.
Glass. If you don't like the way I'm living, you can kiss my ass. I got